Gail Binkley and Jason Crew, thanks for coming in today.
Okay.
Nice to be here.
Jason, what kind of a year has it been so far this year as far as mosquitoes?
Well, if you can say typical, I'd say it's typical. Hasn't been a lot of rain that has caused the water level to stand. It's usually hit and dried up, or it's just been too dry.
Up until recently, we've had a little rain.
Yeah, a little bit, but it hasn't come in as big of a wave as we usually see when our monsoons hit, where it covers the whole area. It's kind of been spotty. Of course, it's still monsoons are still coming, and if the rain gets higher, then that's when we'll have a little more to worry about.
Can you talk just a little bit about, you know, the techniques that you use to kind of manage mosquitoes?
What we use to manage is what they call an integrated mosquito management program, and it's attacking the mosquito at all of its vulnerable life stages. Basically, we do a lot of larviciding where we inspect water, standing water on people's property and some wetland areas and stuff like that. The technicians go out. When they find larvae, they treat with the product that best suits the life stage of the larva. There's first through fourth instar and then a pupal stage before they turn into an adult mosquito.
Okay. And just give me an example. When you say you treat the water, what does that mean? What do you do?
Well, if a larva's found, then we use a product. The main product we use is a product called Bacillus thuringiensis. Variation is Raelinus, so we call it BTI. A lot easier to say, rolls off the tongue a lot quicker. But it's basically an inert bacteria that's impregnated into a ground-up corncob granule as an applicator process. So we throw out these corncob granules out on the water surface where we find mosquito larvae, and they end up ingesting it. It's not a pesticide or toxin in the traditional sense, but what it does is the mosquito ingests it, being a filter feeder, and it causes an upset balance in the pH lining of their stomach, and they end up not able to digest food after that, and it causes basically a stomach to rupture, and it kills the larva while not harming other insects in the water, livestock or other animals that might drink out of the water. It's only effective in the water for maybe 12 hours, and then it has to be reinspected and retreated. So that's why we try to get through all of our stuff in, you know, a week to 10-day rotation.
So is it preferable to try to treat them at the larva stage? Is that?
It is. It's preferable because it can be more specific and target just mosquitoes. When we use the Bacillus thuringiensis, the BTI, we also use another product when they turn into fourth instar larvae. They often quit feeding in preparation to pupate. Mm-hmm. And once they're a pupa, they don't feed also. So we'll use a mineral-based oil that forms a slight film over the water and spreads pretty quickly, and it'll suffocate them, and then it'll actually evaporate from the water within probably 20 minutes. But it does its job in, you know, 5 to 10 minutes, and then mosquitoes are gone.
Well, in the old days, people used to throw oil on water, didn't they?
Diesel and whatever else, yeah. So a lot more environmentally friendly, a lot more species-specific just to control mosquitoes and not, you know, harm other insects that are beneficial or not the target pest.
Well, then what about spraying? You do some mosquito spraying.
We do. And spraying is based on a couple of different things. The district here has a threshold of 60 mosquitoes that we catch in these light traps that we set out for the mosquitoes. So they come to the trap looking for a blood meal, get sucked into the little net. It's a little fan that blows them in, and we can count what species, the number, stuff like that. And so we could figure out, one, how we can treat that area better so we don't have to spray as much by the species and what type of habitat they prefer. Also, is it a legitimate mosquito problem, or is there only a couple in there and a lot of cedar gnats or no-see-ums or other insects that are also drawn to CO2 for blood meals? So we base our spraying off of that, or off of if we get a lot of complaints from a neighborhood. Rather than set the trap, we get out there and send technicians out, try to track down the water source they might be coming from, and then we'll perform adult spraying procedures.
And what do you spray?
We spray a product called Pursuit, and it's just the brand name. It's basically a permethrin or a pyrethroid. Pyrethroids are actually come from chrysanthemum flowers. Chrysanthemum flowers are pretty poisonous. Well, they've taken this pyrethroid into a lab and kind of messed around with it so that it, one, doesn't last in the environment as long, two, It can be applied so that it drifts in the air and comes in contact more with mosquitoes. It also has some other things in it that'll help make the mosquitoes agitated, which will help cause them to take flight. So when we do our adult spray routes, we're basically timing them with when mosquitoes are supposed to be most active. A lot of your other pollinators are up for the evening, you know, late evenings when we time them. So your bees are up. We, you know, avoid spraying where there's beehives and stuff like that to ensure that nothing happens. But while the product's in the air, while it's drifting, it'll come in contact with mosquitoes and it will kill other insects that are mosquito-sized. But by the next morning, it's very photodegradable and there's not any residue or any residual effect from it.
Mosquitoes have been in the news a lot recently.
Yes.
What's that like for you as you work in mosquito control?
It's pretty interesting. We get a lot of people that I'll get a lot of calls where, hey, you need to come out here. We have mosquitoes bad. We don't want to get Zika. Zika, as far as our district is concerned and pretty much most of Colorado and almost all the western states, we don't have the species of mosquito that they're that's capable of vectoring that virus.
Does that mean it doesn't live here at all?
No, if it comes here, it'll be transplanted like almost everything else. It'll come in a person where people are actually the host for the Zika. Whereas
the virus is.
Yeah.
So the mosquitoes can't live here.
The mosquitoes themselves could live through a summer here, but they'd have to be brought here also. It's two distinct species that are kind of a tropical mosquito, Aedes aldopictus and Aedes aegypti. And they're found in, well, Florida. Everybody hears that. They could be in South Texas. They can be coastal. You know, the Gulf Coast areas is where they're found.
But as you mentioned, they could stay a summer here. I have all these like science fiction ideas coming in my head. What if they come here for a summer? Is it the summer of Zika? Or
one would come, you know, unless somebody imported them mass. I mean, one might end up in a car and fly out, or one might end up, you know, in a suitcase or something like that. They've had cases in Salt Lake where they were brought in actually on bamboo plants, you know, the little plants that people put in their house that maybe you can buy at the gardening stores and grow your own little bamboo plant. And the eggs actually they're a floodwater type mosquito. So they lay their eggs individually in a small area and in places that normally flood.
That means so that one mosquito would have to come, that mosquito would happen to be infected by Zika.
Yes.
And that would have to go bite a whole bunch of people, including a pregnant woman, for it to be any problem at all
in
Colorado.
Really. And it's very unlikely. Even if somebody went and traveled somewhere where Zika's, you know, a problem now and came back and they brought the Zika virus with them, the mosquitoes we have couldn't transmit it. So
well, what diseases do you worry about mosquitoes
West Nile okay. is the worst one. There's been incidences in years past where Eastern equine, Western equine, West Nile, different things like that could get here. And West Nile's everywhere across the U.S. now. And what the key factors are is if you get a lot of rain that causes places to hold water longer, we're talking a week, maybe 2 weeks, and that's when you see an influx of the species that vectors it, which is Culex tarsalis. And they're a standing water mosquito that we don't usually see in higher numbers until mid-July or so. So if we get a real hot summer, a lot of rain that really puddles around, then we see an increase in that number of mosquitoes, which would increase, you know, people's chances of coming in contact with West Nile.
So in just a few seconds, we're almost out of time here, but what are the top few things that somebody can do to prevent having mosquitoes on their property?
First one is not let water stand. If you flood your gate, if you have any kind of pools or anything that holds water, use it or keep it moving. Two, give us a call and we can come out and we can actually tell you how to reduce, you know, mosquito incidences at your property.
Jason Carruth is the district manager for Colorado Mosquito Control. Thanks for coming in, Jason.
Thank you.
Thank you.